Hello, CA family and any guests watching. My name is Jill. I'm one of the pastors on staff. Whether this is your first time here or you tune in every week, we just want to say thank you so much for joining us today in our online service. We are a multi-generational, multi-ethnic church that is committed to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, both in word and action, in our city and the world around us. If you're searching for a home church or you're looking to get connected more at Christian Assembly, simply scan the code on the screen. This will give you information about the life of our church, including our weekend service times, special events, life groups, kids church, CA students, and so much more. Thanks so much for watching, and may God bless you as you do.
So my name's Lily. I've been coming to Christian Assembly for a little over 20 years. Mainly, I started coming for kids' church for my kids, but then it just became my home church. So there were some hard times in my life where I didn't connect with anybody. So I've done it both ways. And when you go through it without connecting and inviting people in to your mess, or your whatever journey you're on, it's a lonely place. There's a lot of shame. But when you invite community in, which is what I've done in this season of my life, it's amazing, one, how many people show up for you, two, the amount of care, and three, you're just experiencing God's hand and feet. Like, it's, you're experiencing Jesus himself through other people when you walk with community. So the theme in my life, the narrative in which I lived, was abandonment, shame, and rejection. And all throughout my life, things, situations occurred where that fed into the narrative. So I believed that. In my deepest, darkest moment, in my marriage, when things got hard and my husband left, is when the Holy Spirit dismantled all of that, brought it down to nothing, and has rebuilt it back to who I believe God created me to be. I had to look within myself and start asking myself hard questions. But now I realize God in his kindness didn't want to leave me how I was, and he didn't leave me how I was. Instead, he brought me to places that needed healing and delivered me from pain that I didn't even know I was in. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. The world would say, your life has fallen apart. You're in the middle of a divorce. What could you be thankful for? I'm thankful that the Lord didn't leave me. I'm thankful that he didn't leave me as I was. I'm thankful that I have freedom. I'm thankful for my dream team, which are all the people who walked with me from CA through this season. Gosh, I'm just thankful that he was with me. He was with me.
Well, let me just once more say welcome. I want to welcome all of you who are here, and those of you on the north side of the street, want to welcome you. Also, those of you who are online, want to welcome you as well. I want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody. What a joy to get to be together. If you're a visitor guest, my name is Tom, and for those of you who call CA home, so grateful for you and grateful for how God is at work in your life and through your life. I love you, church. I pray for you every single day. Well, before we jump in to our teaching, I have two little housekeeping notes for you. First, on your way in, on your seats, there's a magazine that's called the Overflow Magazine. I want to encourage you to grab that now. And for those of you online, you can get a digital version of this at our website at cachurch.com. Now, first, I want to tell you what this magazine is. As our kingdom ministries have been expanding and growing over the years, we simply cannot keep up with telling you everything that's happening in the weekend services. In fact, over the last 7 years, we've gone from 25 kingdom partners to 51 kingdom partners, and we've gone from being in 11 countries to now being in 36 different countries. And so God just continues to expand the work of what we get to do together. So four things I want to call you to with that magazine. The very first thing is I want you to take it with you. So it was on your seat. We got a copy for you. I don't want you to think, oh, I'll leave it for someone else. Don't worry. We got copies for those people as well. So I want you to take it. Second thing I want you to do is I want you to read it. So just kind of take your time and read it. I read it today all the way through. I read it as we were working on it as well. But today I just sat down and just read through. It's 70 pages of testimonies from the last 12 months of how God has been at work through all of our kingdom stuff, both locally and globally. And so these are all stories that are real people. Those are their real pictures. They really gave us permission to have that. So you're seeing and reading real lives that have been impacted, whether here in Eagle Rock, Greater Los Angeles, or into the nation. So I want you to read it. Then after you're done reading it, the third thing I want you to do is I want you to pray it. So I want you to start back at the beginning. And now instead of just reading it, I want you to pray for the person or for the ministry that page is about or that section is about. So pray through it. That'll help you pray through all of our kingdom partnerships. And then the final thing is I want you to share it. You know, Jesus says, hey, let your good work shine out before people that they might then thank your Father who is in heaven. And in fact, even I got a chance to give copies of this to some people that I know, and they were just blown away by all of what God is doing, and it strengthened and encouraged their faith. Others who got an advanced copy of this, some of them are not yet believers, and they're like, I didn't even know that a church could do this much stuff. And so I just want to encourage you to share it, maybe share it with somebody investigating faith, somebody in your family. If you're like, I don't even know who to share it with, just leave it at Starbucks or something. Somebody will pick it up and read it. And so we're just praying that you would take it, read it, pray it, and share it. Lastly, I want you to know that every single story that is in that magazine happened in the last 12 months, and it all was funded through your giving. And so if you give back to God through CA, I want to say thank you. You are part of it. And so don't think, oh, that's what CA is doing. You are Christian Assembly. It's what you're doing. And so I want to thank you for your giving, because without you, it would not be possible. The second little item I want to give you a heads up on is that in 2 weekends, our dear friend Julie Boyd from the Living Room in Kenya will be with us. It's always a great, great weekend. Really excited about it. In fact, she's bringing some Kenyan worship leaders with her when she comes. And so we're going to have that as part of our service in 2 weeks. We'll hear an update about all of what God is doing in the Living Room there in Kenya. It's really amazing. They're serving 100,000 people a year right now. They're impacting 100,000 people a year is what Julie told me, both through their health services, outpatient, like home visits, and then the families of the people that are being cared for. So really amazing. It's going to be a fun weekend. Well, back to this weekend. We have many, many reasons for us to be grateful, don't we? Both individually, we have many reasons, but also collectively, we have many reasons to be grateful. And we have many reasons to be grateful, but this weekend, I want to focus in on one of them, which is this. We have every reason to be grateful because we have a God who goes before us. We have a God who goes before us. Have you ever had someone go ahead of you? I remember many years ago, Mark Pickerle and I were going out into the African bush with Peter and Tammy Russell. And if you don't know Peter, he's one of our kingdom partners. He is a wild man. Like, he is a complete wild man. He wanted us to see a dik-dik, which is a small antelope. So he tracked one down and tackled it and brought it to us squirming in his arms so that we could see it. He wanted us to see a spitting cobra that blinds you with its venom when it spits. So he gets out of the Land Rover, wraps a t-shirt around his arms, and is doing this, trying to get all the venom spit at the t-shirt. We're like, get back in the car, wild man. Like, we know why you call your ministry Wild Hope. You're the wild, Tammy's the hope. I think that's kind of how this is kind of functioning. So we go, and we're out. We're going to spend the whole day out in the bush. Like, when I say we're out in the bush, like, we went off dirt roads on a Land Rover, and we were probably 8 hours off of the closest dirt road. Who even knows where the closest paved road was? But we were going out to spend time, spend the day, a couple days, to encourage and strengthen the Maasai people who were coming to faith, and it's part of what we do. You can read, actually, about their stories in that Kingdom magazine. So Peter knew where we would be going, but he also knew where we were going to be at the end of the day, and so he sent someone ahead of us. He sent someone ahead of us to prepare a place for us in the middle of the African bush. And after a long day of travel and encouraging and listening to the Maasai and teaching and preaching and discipling and praying together, we finally arrive at this camp that was just alongside a dried up riverbed where giraffes were running by. And somebody had gone ahead of us and they had prepared for us. They'd gone ahead of us and prepared a place for us. They knew that we were coming. And they knew where we would be, and they knew when we would be there, and they knew exactly what we would need when we got there after a very long day with a lot of travel and a lot of work. So today, this weekend, I am praying that God would stir our hearts and minds to thanksgiving, to gratitude, over the fact that there is a God, and this God tells us that he goes ahead of us to prepare a place for us. Let's consider that. But before we do, let's pray. God, every good gift we have comes from you. And we're so grateful. Lord, before we come to a national celebration, a national holiday, which is really short for the word a national holy day, we come now to say, thank you. And God, as we're about to open your word, I pray that you would speak to us from your word. Your word is living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. Where we need to be strengthened, strengthen us. Where we need hope and faith and love, would you impart that to us? Faith comes from the hearing of your word. As we hear your word, let faith arise. For some of us, it might be for the very first time. Lord, I pray for those who are spiritually unconvinced, whether online at the 1115 North or gathered here now, that they would cross a line of faith before the end of our time together. I pray for those who are spiritually convinced that we as well would take one step closer to complete commitment to you. So Lord, as we come to your word, speak to us. We open our hearts. We quiet all distractions. We come to you with grateful hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. On your way in, hopefully you got a bulletin. If you did, you can flip it open to the center section. You'll see the teaching notes that are there that you can fill out as we go throughout our time together. You'll also see the scripture passages that are there for you that we'll be digging into. God going before his people is a constant theme in the Bible. In fact, we're going to pick it up in Deuteronomy Chapter 31, verse 7, we pick it up. It says this: Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all of Israel, he said, be strong and courageous. For you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. And here it is. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear and do not be dismayed. So the Lord gives Joshua a promise through Moses that the Lord is going before you. Now, Moses doesn't tell Joshua all of the details of exactly what it will look like for the Lord to go before him, but he does make it clear of something that's going to result in, which is the very first point I want to emphasize, is this, is that because God goes before us, we can be courageous. This is not the type of courage that comes from playing a hype song. Like in an older generation, you know, it was like the theme song to Rocky or Eye of the Tiger. Like, I don't know what the hype song is these days, you know. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about hype. We're talking about hope. And the hope is not based on hype. It's based on the who. The who that goes before us. Moses starts this charge to Joshua saying, be strong and courageous. And then he ends it with saying, don't be afraid or dismayed. Now, dismayed, that word in Hebrew, what it means is don't let yourself break down. Don't be beaten down. Don't be discouraged. Let me ask you, have you ever felt broken down, beaten down, or discouraged by life? You ever felt that way? I felt that way. Moses starts and ends with the what he is calling Joshua and all the people to do. But in the middle, he gives the secret sauce. He gives the why. He says, look, I want you to be strong and courageous. And at the end, he says, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. Why? In the middle, he says, because the Lord goes before you and he will be with you. Now, fast forward to Joshua chapter 3. Moses has now died. He's gone to be with the Lord. And after 40 years in the wilderness, Joshua is about to lead a new generation of Israel into the land that God has promised to give them. So we pick it up in Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. It says this. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and to follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance, about a half a mile, between you and the Ark. Don't go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take the Ark of the Covenant and pass ahead of the people. So they took it up. They carried the Ark of the Covenant on poles. They took it up and they went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will exalt you in the eyes of all of Israel so that they may know that I'm with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. So this isn't their plan. They're not like, hey, we're just going to do our own thing. No, they're listening to God's word. He says, listen to the words of the Lord your God. Verse 10, this is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he's going to drive out a whole bunch of ites in front of you. And then in verse 11, see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So God is telling them what's going to occur as they take this step of obedience. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. So this now is not just normal river. This is now flooded river. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. And it piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Araba, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Okay, let's pause there. So circumstances don't look great. They arrive at the edge of the Jordan River whenever the Jordan is in flood stage. And you got to be thinking, like, hey, if God's with us, wouldn't he have picked a better time than flood stage? Like this, circumstances don't look good here, Joshua. But God tells them to start taking steps forward. Let me ask you, have you ever had a time when circumstances did not look great, but God said, I want you to start taking steps forward to the promise I have for you? If you're like me, this is how I am. I think, well, God, listen, if you part the water, I'll start walking. If you change the circumstances, then I'll start moving. I will be the first mover when all the circumstances are easy. I'm your guy. You got easy circumstances, I am your man. I will walk through easy circumstances consistently. I'm good at that. I can think, God, if you go first, if you part the water, then I'll start walking. But God says to the priests, if you trust my promise enough to start walking, then the water will start parting. You see, sometimes when you follow God, you have to be willing to get your feet wet. You have to be willing to be strong and courageous. And here's the truth. The amount of faith you have in your steps relates to the amount of faith that you have in the power of God's promises, his word, and his sovereignty. Be strong and courageous. The second thing we see from this passage is that because God goes before us, we can trust his guidance. Notice Joshua tells Israel, the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, that the Ark of the Covenant will go first. Now, why did the Ark of the Covenant go first? Well, they're told, then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. Let me ask you, has God ever led you on a path that you've never been that way before? Maybe he's doing that right now in your life. You need some guidance. You've never been this way before. You've never graduated high school before. You never had to pick a college before. You never had to try to figure out who to marry before. You never had to try to figure out which job to apply to, or once you got a job, do you stay in it or do you go to a different job? You've never been this way before. You've never been a parent before. You've never had teenagers before. You never had adult children before. You've never had this mental health challenge before. You've never been with a loved one who has this physical health challenge before. You've never had this financial challenge before. You've never retired before. You've never been this way before. And it's okay if you've never been this way before, because you can still be strong and courageous. Why? Because the one who goes before you has been this way before. You're not the first one that he's led down these paths. He doesn't just walk with you. He walks ahead of you. In fact, he knows the way. He's been this way before. But even more, he doesn't just know the way. He is the way. In fact, before Christians were called Christians, according to the book of Acts, in Acts 24, verse 14, they were called followers of the way. Why were they called followers of the way? Because Jesus told his followers in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now let's go back to Joshua and the nation of Israel crossing the Jordan at flood stage. There's an interesting detail that I think matters, and I think if we're just not necessarily focused on it, we might miss it. Sometimes if you don't read the scriptures closely, you can kind of bring things with you that kind of you put into the text, right? So I remember many years ago when I was younger, and I read this. Well, I was familiar with another water crossing where God had led the Israelites out of Egypt, and they went across the Red Sea, and that one, the water stands up on either side of them. They're going through an ocean, so it's standing up on either side of them. And I remember reading this and thinking, well, that's probably what it was like Charlton Heston, and like, you know, the water's right there. But that's not actually what the text says. When you read it, what it says is this. It says in verse 17, the priests who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan, and they stood on dry ground. Okay, now here's the detail. It's in verse 16. The water from upstream stopped flowing, and it piled up in a great heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. Okay, here's the detail you need to understand. The town of Adam was 20 miles upstream from where they were crossing. So that means that God has been doing something upstream before they ever got to the edge of the stream, downstream. Why has he done that? Because he's the God who goes ahead of us. So about 3 hours earlier, based on the flow of water, God shows up 20 miles upstream, and 3 hours earlier, before they even start walking with the ark to move towards the river, before their feet are even touching the edge of the water, and he shows up to the Jordan River at the town of Adam in the region of Zarethan, 20 miles upstream, and he says, hey, water of Adam, I need you to stop right there. Why? Because about 3 hours from now, the priest's feet are about to hit the water downstream. So I need to do something upstream to get ready for what their faith is going to bring them to do downstream. God is 20 miles ahead of you and 3 hours ahead of you. He doesn't just walk with you. He walks before you. It brings me to the third point, which is this. We have a downstream faith, but we serve an upstream God. At no point in your life will God ever say, I didn't see you coming. I didn't know that you were going to arrive at this moment of your life. I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. I didn't know you would be here right now. You see, this didn't start with Joshua. God was up to something upstream. What is just getting started in your life didn't just get started with your life. God is 20 miles ahead of you, and that's good news. And I want to bring some hope from God's word to those of you who are having to trust God with stuff that's 20 miles away. Like we're here in Iwarok, and Azusa's like 20 miles away, and God's working in Azusa, and we're downstream. He's doing something there that you can't see, that by the time we get to the river, what he did there is going to perfectly line up in his timing for what we need here. I want to encourage you, if you're having to trust God with stuff that it's 20 miles away, stuff you can't see, stuff you can't control, stuff you can't plan and figure out. No matter how much you master plan it, there's too many variables that you're not in control of. And I'm not talking about the things that you can do. You do the things that you can do, but then you trust God with what only he can do. What would you do if you knew God was already 20 miles ahead of you working on what you're praying about today? Where you see a river in flood stage, he sees a dam built 20 miles upstream. Where you see a problem, he already has a plan. If God has guided you to this moment, if you're a follower of Christ, if you've placed your faith in God, if God has guided you to this moment, he will provide for this moment, whatever your moment is. Why? Because we have an upstream God. He knew that you would be in this situation before you knew that you would be in this situation. Let me ask you, what problem do you need to leave today in God's upstream hands? His 20 miles ahead of your plan, and that you just walk with a downstream faith, letting your heart be filled with thanksgiving because you know he's gone ahead of you. Will you trust him with the thing that's 20 miles away? This Joshua passage, if you read it closely, it's a three-day story. It talks about 3 days. This miracle provision of a way into the promised land happened by God's word, received by faith. It's a three-day story. And it foreshadows another miraculous three-day story, Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection 3 days later. In fact, after Jesus resurrects, the angels tell the women who went to the tomb in Mark 16, verse 7, the angel says to them, "But go and tell his disciples and Peter," listen to what they say, "he is going ahead of you. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Jesus is going ahead of you. In other words, in every visit, in every meeting I attend, in every appointment I keep, I have been anticipated. And so have you. The risen Christ got there before me. The risen Christ is already in that room. He's already in that situation. He already is in that meeting. He's already working upstream. Same for you as you place your faith in Christ. And what is he doing? And how might I see him at work? So I've been trying something new. As I begin my days, I invite you to try this. I've been saying to myself, "Tom, Jesus is risen, and he's going ahead of you." Now, he's going ahead of the disciples to Galilee, but I'm not in Galilee. So this is what I say: "Tom, Jesus is risen, and he's going ahead of you, before you, to Colorado Boulevard. There you will see him, just as he told you." Tom, Jesus is risen, and he's going before you today into CHLA, into a NICU. There you will see him, just as I told you. Tom, Jesus is risen. He's going ahead of you into the marriage that's struggling, into the teenager who needs some help, into the friend who doesn't know Jesus but is curious about faith. He's going ahead of you, Tom, and there you will see him just as he told you. And so now, when I arrive in the room, I'm not so much wondering what I'm going to do or say to be pastoral as much as I'm trying to be on high alert and be observant for what the risen Christ has already been doing upstream before I arrived, so that I can step in to what he's doing. Because it doesn't start with me. He's 3 hours ahead and 20 miles ahead of me. And I'm just walking in his wake. And I'm walking by faith because he's good. The fourth and final thing I want us to see is this: because Jesus goes before us, we have a future full of hope and joy. John 14, verse 1, Jesus says this: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you?" So he's going ahead to prepare a place. "And if I go ahead to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place that I'm going." Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him." Church, Jesus has gone ahead of us, not just in our earthly circumstances. He has gone ahead of us into the heavens to prepare a new earth and a new heavens for us. Before the foundation of the world, the scriptures teach us, before anyone had ever sinned, God had a plan to offer salvation in Christ alone. Before you and I ever sinned, Jesus Christ was already at work upstream from your life, paying for our sin so that we could be forgiven by grace through faith. Like the Israelites stepping into the promised land, God did the work. They just had to take obedient steps of faith. So too, upstream from our life, God has done the work, and he invites us to receive it by taking our next step of faith to enter into his promises for each of us. There is no place that we will ever step that God hasn't already prepared with his presence and with his purpose in your life. There is no detour, there is no delay, and no dead-end surprises to God. He has already seen it. He's already been that way before, and he's planned for your arrival. So this Thanksgiving, we have many, many reasons to be thankful. But maybe at the top of the list is to be thankful that we serve a God who goes before us, to give us courage, to guide us, to work upstream for us, and to save us and prepare a future of hope. And for that, we have all the reasons we could ever need to give him thanks this Thanksgiving. Let's pray. God, we do come and say thank you. Thank you for going ahead of us. Thank you for not only knowing the way, but sending your son Jesus Christ to be the way. What do you need to thank God for? Maybe for some of you, you just need to thank God that he's gone ahead of you and he wants to give you courage. Where in your life do you need fresh courage that comes from knowing whatever you're worried about in the future, as you follow Jesus Christ, he can give you courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Be strong and courageous. It's not hype. It's hope because of who goes before you. The living and risen one. God, I pray that you would mark us with courage, that we would lay down our worries and fears and let our hearts be filled with thanksgiving, that though we don't know how it's going to work out, we know that you're 20 miles ahead of us and 3 hours before us. Maybe others of you, it's not so much courage you need, but it's this promise of guidance. You haven't been this way before. But God says, if you seek me with all of your heart and all of your mind, if you ask me for wisdom, I'll guide you. Ask him now for the guidance you need, the decisions you need to make. Apply his word by the power of his spirit to take your next step with him. Maybe others of us, we just need to be comforted this week and strengthened and marked with joy of knowing that we serve an upstream God. And yes, he's going to ask us to take downstream steps of faith, but he's already at work in advance, already preparing for our next step of obedience to unfold with his purpose and presence and his planning. And lastly, for those of you that are believers, could you just thank God that you're saved? And that he's prepared a future, a place for you, a hope for you. For those of you that have never given your life to Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to do that now. Whether you're online, whether you're at the 1115 North Service, whether you're here, you were created to know God. He created you in his image, male and female, he created us. And yet sin has entered the world and we all freely have participated in sin of our own free choice. Your sin might be different than my sin, but what our sin has in common is that the wages of sin is death. We're separated from God because of our sin. The wages of sin is death, a physical death, a spiritual death, a mental health death, an emotional death, a relational death. We're separated from God. And yet God, before we ever sinned, already had the rescue plan in place before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ decided, yes, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna freely lay down my life to pay for their sin, so that whosoever would come to me by faith would be reconciled back to God, and you'd be forgiven. You'd have peace with God, and your record of your sin would be wiped clean because it's been paid for by the one who went ahead of you, the one who went before you, the one who did the thing that you couldn't do. So I want to invite you to say yes to Jesus. Don't miss your moment. For the very first time, you want to say yes. You might be like, I don't even know how to say it. Here's how you say it. God, I'm saying yes to you. I'm putting my faith in you. Save me. Forgive me of my sin. Teach me how to know you and follow you all the days of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Don't just give me a second chance. Give me a new nature. Give me a second birth from the inside out. And if you've confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, the scriptures tell us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that you will be saved. You have been now transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And that, my friend, is the very best good news you will ever hear. For those of you that maybe you're like, well, I've prayed before, but I've kind of, Tom, I've done some stuff recently that I know God told me not to. I did it. Come again and receive his mercy. Receive his grace. His grace isn't just for one time. His grace is for all time. You live in the age of grace. You live in the moment where he's saying, come to me and receive my rest. Receive my salvation. So for those of you, maybe you're like, I'm a Christian, but I've kind of walked away. I've been wandering around. I've been dabbling in darkness. Come back to him. Hear the voice of the Good Shepherd calling you back. That's you. You can just say, God, I'm coming back. And when I come back, Lord, forgive me of my sin and anchor me to you. Teach me how to grow and mature in my faith, that I would abide in your word and love, both this day and all days. Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts and minds to thanksgiving for the courage you give us, the guidance you offer, that you're an upstream God inviting us to have a downstream faith, and that you save us and prepare us for a future and a hope and a joy. For those of you that said yes to God for the very first time, your next step is to be baptized. I want to encourage you to do that. We're doing that in a couple weeks in December. Also, if you're here or if you're 1115 North, let one of the pastors know. We'll get you a New Believer's New Testament. If you're online, just email in through the church website or call the church office, and we will send you a gift of a New Believer's New Testament as our gift to you. God, we thank you for all that you've done. Happy Thanksgiving.